Okay. So yesterday we started on schemas. Actually, we started on the document type definition, which is one type of schema. I don't know if you could see the kind of relationship to what we did in the database. So now what we're doing now is to define the table structures. The schema, which will be the model, in this case, the actual model inside the database. And in the database, you will have tables. We will have primary keys, we will have foreign keys, we will have attributes. And inside those tables, there will be rows. And so here in XML, we have an XML document, which will be similar to rows, which is a tree, one specific tree. But what we do with the schema and the DTD will be to define what will be the valid structure of the tree. The same way as we in the database, we define what are the tables, what are the attribute names, what type would the ID be? Would it be a number? Would it be a string? What type would the date be, date of birth? And what are the primary keys? What are the foreign keys? So that we would define database, and that we call the database schema. Now we talk about the XML schema, which will be similarly be for describing what is the proper structure of the XML document. So we started with DTD, and we're going to continue a little bit with DTD today, but then we're going to go to XML schema, which is what you're going to be using for the assignment and playing with the schema. Now, if we look at the DTD, we remember there are three things to define. We define what would be the text content. And as you can see here, text content is PC data. So total fat is some text content. The saturated fat is some text content. Cholesterol is text content because in DTD, we can tell that the content is text content by the hash PC data. And there is one that is empty. I don't know if it's here. It's probably further down. So if it doesn't have any content, calories, it's empty. So it doesn't have any content. It can't have any text content or any elements. But mostly, elements have children. So the nutrition element, for instance, it will have one and only one daily values, and it will have at least one food item. Could be more, but at least one. And we see here daily values. It needs to start with total fat, continue with the saturated fat, cholesterol, sodium, carb, fiber, protein. And we played around with it yesterday, and we added some question marks. And by adding a question mark, we make these elements optional. So they can be there, but then only once in that place, or as a child to the same parent. But it doesn't have to be there, but it could be at the most once. And we had the star, which would be for zero or many. Now, what we're going to do in a short while is to start looking at the attributes, attribute lists. There is the one thing to talk about before that, and that is if you think about the skier logs document, the skier logs document, it contains skiers or skier elements. Now, there are skier elements two different places in the tree. It's one in which it's under the skier's child or skier logs. And in this case, the skier elements have the structure of having an attribute, username, and they have the potential of having three, or they will have three children. One is the first name, the other is the last name, and the third is year of birth. Now, if you remember from the assignment five, skiers will also appear here as children of skier of the season grandparent. And in here, the structure is different. They have log as the child, not first name, last name, whatever. They have log as the child. So the same element, meaning skier, appears two different places in the XML document with different structure. How can we do that in DTD? Because we need to specify that in the DTD. And what we need to do then is to define what you call an alternative structure, a choice. So here is a choice between the two structures, and I just show it a little bit different here. So let's say you like to refer to the food item by a reference, and to refer to it, since we don't have an ID, we would need a name, but since the name doesn't have to be unique within among multiple manufacturers, we say, okay, manufacturer plus name would be unique. You know that from the analysis of normalization. So you need to see what are the functional dependencies, meaning would name and manufacturer always be unique? Let's hope so. Let's hope that the same manufacturer doesn't have two products that are different but with the same name. But there's no guarantee. But what you can be quite sure of is that the name alone would not be good as a primary key. So here I would like to refer to the food somewhere in the document without having to list all the ingredients, because if I have a reference to the food item and I have the food item itself, if I start replicating data, then we may be in trouble. The same thing as in the database, where if you have a reference to an object, you don't want to copy everything, because then you replicate data, and replication is the start of everything evil in the database. So we have the same thing, different places. So here we would like it to have this structure, but in the list we would also like to have it in the full structure. So then, how can we do that? Well, we could say that the element food could have one of two different structures. So this is what it says: the choice. The one structure is it either has a name and a manufacturer, or it has the whole list. So those are the two only choices. But now, in the one and same document, I can have two alternatives. In the skier logs case, then one could be it contains a log. In the other case, it contains first name, last name, date of birth, or year of birth. You follow me? So with the choice, I have the option of defining alternative structures that I can use. As we'll see, or the problem here is that I can't say which version could appear in certain places in the document. We can do that with the schema. But with the DTD, I can just say that both are allowed, but I can't restrict one structure in one part of the document and another structure in another part of the document. I can't do that. But we'll come back to the schema where we can do this. Now, that was, but there are more to elements as well, but that's the basic thing. We need to define what are the elements, what would it contain, data or other elements, and what are the sequence of elements, and can they be repeated? Do they have to be there, and can they be repeated? That's basically what we define. And are there alternative formats? Attributes. For attributes, we would like to define which attributes are there. We would like to say what data they can contain. The typical value here is just a C character data, C data. Since we can't have comments in here, it's not parsed character data, it's just character data. So you remember that if an element contains text, it's PC data with a hashtag first. But that's because you need to parse it out. There can be other things in there, commands and tags and other things that you need to parse out. But in this case, it's just plain text, and it will deal with this. So that's why it's called C data. It may be ID, and you remember that we talked about IDs will have to be legal XML names, meaning they had to start with the character, and then they could continue with underscores and numbers and dashes and everything. And what's specific about ID is that the same as if you define a primary key in a table, the ID is also a primary key within this document. So if you have one node with one ID, that will be the only node in the document with that ID. It has to be unique. That's why it's defined to be an ID. It will have to be unique within the document, which means that we can define references. And an ID ref will be the same as in the database. What would the ID ref be the same as? Foreign key. So ID would be the primary key, and ID ref would be the foreign key. So that is the same mechanism. And we may enumerate values. So if we have certain values, let's say the months of the year, January, February, March, April, if we have an attribute month, then we may want to restrict it to just these values. And in an element, I can't do that. Element, they can just be data. But for attributes, I can define a list of valid values. And there are some other options, but these are the most relevant ones. And then we can define whether an attribute is mandatory or not. Default is that an attribute doesn't have to be there. So that's the typical case. So you may have an attribute, but you may not. But in this case, we call them implied. It means that they're optional, and if they aren't there, we're going to imply a value. The other is required, which means that that attribute will always, it will have to be there always. So if the element does not contain that attribute, it's invalid. So some examples. So what does this say? Well, it says that protein has the attribute named units, which is just character data, and it's implied. So if there is no units, we have to assume that everything is in grams or something, because there will have to be a default value. But in this case, we don't specify. We just say that if it's there, it's okay. But we don't have to mention it. Here in calories, we say that the total amount of calories and the amount of calories from fat are required. Still data. We can't say that these are numbers in DTD. We can just say that these are characters. In the schema, we can say that these should be numbers, but not here. So we could just say character data, but they are both required. So whenever there is a calories element, there will have to be both of these attributes will have to be there. And this is an enumeration. So let's say if you have an event and we'd like to know the year and the month of the year, for the month, we can do it like this. We will list all the months, and now whenever we create an event, we have to set the attribute month, and it has to be one of these values, otherwise it will fail. So you have all used enumeration in your code. Anyone not using enumerations yet? So you in your own code, rather than having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you define the actual possible values. It's quite nice. It's much more readable code, rather than saying month is 6. Six, was that June or July? In this case, it says June, so that would be easier. And if we have references, it's convenient to have primary and foreign keys. So in the document, let's say we have a license plate. You have a list of cars, and then you have a list of parking spots, and some of the parking spots may be reserved for some of the cars. So you would like to say, what car is this parking spot reserved for? And then you would like to refer to a car that is mentioned in the document. So this is the same as primary and foreign keys. Number one, you can only have the car listed once because it's unique, it's ID. Number two, whenever there is a reference to it, you would like to be sure that the car is already listed. So this would ID and ID ref. This is handled nicely. Problem is that if the key you would like to use as the ID starts with a number or starts with some other characters that is not a valid XML name, then this breaks apart. So when we come back to the schema, look at the details for the schema. This is not a restriction in schema. In schemas, we are allowed to use other types of or other names than XML names. You could use other characters. So that gives us more freedom. There are some other change differences as well. For instance, here, we can't say where this node should be. We could just say that the ID would be in the document and be unique, but you can't say that it will have to be in the list of cars. That's not enforced by the DTD or by the validator. So, but we'll come back to what XML schema you can do there, because it's richer and allows us better or finer grain control. And there is more, much more, but this is the most important, and with this you should be able to dive into the details. Number one, you have the mixed content. You remember mixed content means that you have text and markup mixed up. So in between the elements, you have text, and we can do that. You can specify that in the DTD, and you can also specify that certain nodes could have any content. You don't care. It could be anything. And that's that would allow you to define nodes in your tree that would you could hook in anything. If anything is well-formed XML, you could just attach it to a tree at that point. You don't care. But that makes, as we said yesterday, that will make programming harder, because then in your program, you will have to check how that structure is. The advantage of the DTD is that when you have the DTD, the validator can run and see if this is a valid document, and if it is in your code, you can safely assume that the structure is as you expect it to be. There are some other types of attributes, and even some, you can even say that an attribute is fixed, or you could give an attribute a default value. So if you don't specify, you can give it a default value in addition to so it's kind of implied, but with a default value that you define yourself. And there are more on declarations. But the more interesting thing is what we're just aiming at, is to say, why do we want to look at the XML schema when we have a DTD? Because with DTD, we can validate. But an XML schema allows us to do much more than with the DTD. So a DTD, for instance, you can't say that text content, it could be in an attribute or in the the content of an element. You can't say that it has to be a number, or it has to be a valid date, or that it has to be a valid email address. So we can't specify what is the valid structure. We can specify that the attribute has to be there. We can specify that, but we can't say much about the value other than it is character data. And we have very limited data types or attribute types. We can only limit children to there or not, one or many. We can't say there should be exactly three or exactly five or between two and eight. We can't control that. It can be zero, one, many. We can play around with that. There's no namespace support. So if you are using namespace and DTD, it's a hassle. You can do it, but then it's a hassle, and you need to make the DTD make use of the prefix, among other things. ID ref, as we mentioned, quite restricted. Can't handle number of keys, and you can't say exactly what the foreign keys should point to, other than the ID. Can't say where in the tree it should be. DTDs, as you could see, that's not XML. You can't use the XML tools for the DTD, because DTD is something very different. It doesn't look like XML at all. It's very different. So all the tools we have for XML, they don't work on the DTD. Now with XML schema, it's written in XML, so we can use the XML tools to access the schema. For instance, use XPath to query the schema, or use XSLT to transform the schema. So we have all those tools available. And there are more differences. So because of that, we have this XML schema. I'm going to start going into the schema, what it is, how the basics, how it's structured, and then we're going to look at defining simple and complex content. And we're going to continue. I will see if we're going to be able to get through it all today, or if some of the simple type questions are going to be left for tomorrow. We'll see. But at least we're going to get you started so much that you can start working on the assignment. Now, if you are to start working on the assignment after this lecture, you will probably start with the part two, because what we're going to be sure that we cover properly will be part two, the structure. I start there, which is task two in the assignment. The first task, which is the simple types, that's the final thing I'm going to come to, so we may not be able to go through all of that, but that will be tomorrow. But shouldn't be, hopefully not a problem. I recommend you starting with the second part. Now, unfortunately, we need to deal with a little bit of terminology here, and it may be confusing. I hope you will grasp it, and I hope I will remind you a few times, because it's an important distinction. And one is simple contents. What do we mean by simple contents? That would be the contents of an attribute or the contents of the children. We're talking about the children of elements or the actual content inside the attribute. And when we say simple content, we refer to data types. You can compare this with your programming. So when you program, you have in C++, you have the data types. You have ints and floats and characters and data types, the basic data types, booleans, and you have objects. So objects are complex content because they have a number of attributes and pointers and everything, while a variable holding a boolean has a simple content. It's just content, nothing more than that. So when we talk about simple content, we have these strings, integers, dates, times, whatever values, booleans. And then we have complex content. And complex content is characterized by having elements, possibly mixed up with text, but it's not just text. So it has children that are element children or element nodes. So if you think about JSON, if you think about object-oriented programming, it means that the child is some sort of an object. So in our case, for instance, if you look at the skier's log or skier logs, we find that logs has complex content because it contains a number of entry elements. Entry has complex content because it contains dates, areas, distance. What about date? What is the content, simple or complex? Simple. The username attribute? Simple or complex? Simple. Attributes will always have to be simple. You can't have an element inside of attribute. You remember that in that case, it will be well-formed. Well-formed dictates that attributes have simple content. But anything that will have elements will be complex content. But then, besides content, we also talk about types. And types and content may be a bit different, because a type describes the element including its contents. So when we talk about the type of the document type will be the name of the root element and what is the legal structure of the document. An element type will be the name of the element, what it contains. If it has attributes, if it has what it could contain, that will be the type. The attribute type will be the type of the value of the attribute, and the text node type will be the type of the text. This could be date. I mean, the attribute and the text node could be date type. It could be float type. It could be int type. The element type will be that it contains one or more entry elements, and it contains the attribute. So that is the type. It describes the structure of the element. And here comes where we need to separate between type and content. So simple type. If we have something of a simple type, it can only have simple content. So an attribute, if it's of simple type, it can only contain values of strings or numbers or whatever. If an attribute or if an element is simple type, it means that it can only contain text content. Meaning in the DTD case, if an element is simple type, it can only contain character data or parsed character data, piece of data. Why is this important? Well, because complex type might be different, because a complex type doesn't have to have complex content. There is one exception to that. Typically, complex types do have complex content. But complex types may have simple content, but they may have attributes. And if you have an attribute, then we define it to be complex. So if we have, let's say for the, if you go here, let's look at the nutrition document. So the nutrition document, if you look at this, we will say that food, is it a simple or a complex type, the food item? Complex. It's complex because it contains elements. It has children. What about name? Simple type because it just gives a name. What about manufacturer? Simple, because it just holds text. What about serving? Can we represent that as a value? No. We need to have an object because it has attributes. So this one is complex, even though the content is just a number. You follow me? So the content is simple, but the type is complex. It has attributes, but it doesn't have children, but it's still, so that's the exception, and that is makes, so it may sound like a small detail that we don't have to worry about, but we do have to worry about it, because when we create schemas, we need to say whether a type is simple or complex, and if it has attributes, we will always have to define that as complex, even though the content may be simple, and then we may need to specify that the content is simple. So that's the reason why this is necessary. So remember, simple, complex content goes to whether or not they have children elements. And simple, complex type goes to whether it's just a value or it's something more, either an attribute or children in the content. We'll come to it and maybe going to make some mistakes before we get to learn. Remember in the DTD, we have character data. So when we have an attribute or we have an element, we can define it to be character data. In XML schema, we have all these built-in types. So we could say that an element should have content of type unsigned int or being a boolean or being a date, time. So this is the full set of types. So whenever we specify, so in the assignment in part one, when we are to define various types, percentages, okay, what's a percentage? Well, it may be a decimal or it may be a float or some of those types. And you could choose that rather than having to specify that it needs to be numbers and potentially with dots to separate the fractional parts. So you could just say, nope, it should be a decimal or float or double. And then you may wonder, what's the difference here? The difference, you can look them up. What's the difference between decimal and float and double? Just look them up if you're interested. But know that there are quite a lot of them. And it might sound strange, though, that you have non-negative and positive. So what's the difference between non-negative and positive? Any suggestions? Yes, non-negative can also be zero. Positive will be one or up. So that's right. So you can include zero. So with this, we can play around with it. If it should be greater than zero, we could use positive. If it shouldn't be negative, use non-negative. Why? So we have dates, but why is there a G in front of month, year, month, day, day, month? Why is there a G in front of these names? It has nothing to do with sorting. So the suggestion was related to sorting, but it's not.
Is it related to Gregorian?
It's related to the Gregorian calendar. Dates are kind of standard formats of dates, but when we talk about months and days, we need to refer to a calendar, and we use the Gregorian calendar. So that's why we have the G. That's absolutely right. So just remember, dates are okay, but if you talk about month, year, and days, we need to remember to include the G, because then we refer to the Gregorian calendar. Now, what type may an attribute have? We have said it a couple of times. Simple or complex? Attributes will always have to be simple, because they can't contain elements. You can't have an attribute on an attribute. So that's why it has to be simple. Now, you remember that in the document, we can have a doc type specifying what is the document type, and then we had the system link to the file where the doc type is. In schema, it's a bit different. We're going to put an element. We need first to define the namespace XSI in this case. So XML NS means that we need to specify a namespace, because this attribute is defined in the schema instance namespace. So what does it say? It says that this is an instance of a schema. This tells us that where is this schema that this document is an instance of? So here, we say no namespace location, and then we need to give the URL of the schema. Because this nutrition document is an instance of a nutrition schema. You follow me? And we need to tell where is the schema stored. In this case, it's in this URL. So here it will mean locally. Same place as where the XML document is. This is if we have no namespaces. But if we have namespace, we need to specify a little bit more. Then we need to say schema location, because then we also need to specify what is the namespace of the document. But we're going to be using no namespaces in this assignment at least, so we use a no namespace schema location. But the schema location is the one you use if you also have defined it within a namespace, because then we need to specify the namespace. Now, what are the top level nodes of an XML schema? Because inside the schema, we define what we expect, what structure we expect. And if you remember in the DTD, the name of the document type would have to be the same as the name of the document element, the root element. That's not the case in schema. But in the schema, we need to tell what are the possible root element names. And usually, you would just go with one root element. In all the cases we've been using here, the root element would be nutrition or skier logs in a different document, or just one of them. But it is possible to define that a document may have a type of document may have different root nodes. But I prefer having just one. The root of the tree should be the one, and it should match the name of the file. I think that's a good practice that the doc type introduced. And then, besides defining the root element, we are defining what are the complex types that we're going to be using and what are the simple types, meaning what is the tree structure of the document, which children can the root element have, and what are the attributes, and further on. And we can define what are the legal values of attributes and legal values of text or elements with simple content. So here, in the schema, the way to do that is that here we have the schema, and we define, again, we need to define the namespace for XML schema. Remember that the schema instance was for the document, and the schema is for the schema. So this one says that inside the XML schema, we need to refer to or define the namespace. XS is typically what you use, but you could, as we said, for all namespaces, you could define the prefix the way you want it to be, but it's quite common to call them XS, XML schema. And here is the schema. So when I say element here, I say that the element defined by schema, which would be the root element, is defined, and its name is nutrition. So here I said that this document is a document containing one nutrition element, and then what it contains, I just left it out on this slide. So remember, the first thing you need to do in the XML schema is to define what are the possible root elements, the possible document elements. And typically will be inside the schema here. Inside the schema, you define the root elements. Now, what more? You will typically define complex and simple types. I like to have the complex types first because they define the tree structure, and then the simple types in the end. So what would the complex types specify? They will specify what is the content of a node in terms of children. Will it have what are the legal child elements, and what are the attributes? And after defining all these complex types, then we could define simple types. And a simple type will be then saying, okay, the year of birth should be a Gregorian year, the distance should be a non-negative or a positive even, because it doesn't make sense to log zero, so it's a positive number. So we specify what are the or we can define our own simple types for the elements. In this case, it's a weight unit value type, is what I call it here. So how do we then define elements of simple type? You remember from the DTD, we had three cases. It's empty. And if it's empty, we don't have to define a type at all. I should probably have shown that as well. If it's empty, we don't have to say what type it is. Just say it as an element. It has no type because it doesn't have anything. But in this case, for the name and manufacturer, we agreed that these had simple content of simple type. So we could just say they have string content. XS means that this is the string, and when here in the type we have XS something, we refer to this. So any of these types named here, we can say that an attribute or an element has that type by just say XS and then the name of the built-in type. So that's how we can refer to built-in types. Is to say it's string defined in the schema vocabulary or in the schema namespace. And there are more. So we have a number of float values for the total fat, saturated fat, cholesterol, sodium, carb, fiber, protein. They are all floats. So we can say that this will have to be a valid float. If the user is typing in letters or any other characters, it won't work. It will have to be a float. Of course, by doing this, we open for negative numbers. So we can say that it's negative protein, which wouldn't fly. So in this case, we'll have to, as we're going to do in the second part of the, either today or tomorrow, we're going to look at how we can restrict, saying it will, it is a float, yes, but it will have to be larger than zero, or zero or larger. So we can talk about that later on. I think we'll make the break there, because then we'll look at the tree, how to create a tree, and I think it's good to do that after the break. So let's meet 10 past, I guess. Isn't it? Okay, a couple of other things before we start. Number one, I said yesterday, but don't be too upset when the XML validator doesn't deal with Norwegian characters. So if you try to look at the characters, it doesn't look the same way as the file if you have Norwegian characters. But it should still validate properly, because what the problem is that it is pushing text to the web page as ISO 88, the ISO Latin 1. But we feed it with UTF-8. So it's just the display on the web page the problem. It's not the handling internally, because XML is UTF-8. So internally it works fine. So don't worry about the it looks crap on the page, the Norwegian characters, but the validation should work anyway. So don't worry so much about that. The other thing is about assignment 4. I should have told you, but Dipti will put up a message later today, because the teaching assistants, they should be done by today. Should give all feedback today. That's what they are working for, and we think they're going to do that. But what Dipti and I agree anyway is that from the time they are done, you will have 1 week to resubmit. So if they are, we hope they will be done today, then the deadline for resubmitting is next Thursday. If they are not done today, they will be done tomorrow, then it will be Friday. So, which is, of course, it's not so good in that you have a deliverable again next week, and then that one can't be pushed, because after that we need to give the, we have a week for going through everything, and we need to give the administration the list of who had enough assignments approved. So we can't move that very much, because the exam office needs the data quickly. So, but for this assignment 4, don't worry. It would be good if you did it the weekend and get it out of the way. But it's not crucial. We will give you the times. You have a week to work on it. But it's going to stack up, so we're going to be busy end of the semester anyway. Yeah, I think that was it. Now, what we looked at is how we define the elements of simple type, and it's very easy. We just say the element of name is of type string. The element of name cholesterol is of type float. So this way, we just specify, and if this is the sequence of children, then we expect them to be in this sequence. We're going to look at this now. Because when we create complex elements or elements with complex content, we remember that in that case there will be children of type element. So in this case, and this is what you need to get used to, when we specify, the element is of complex type, which is a sequence of element, which is of complex type, which is a sequence of element, which is a complex type of a sequence of an element. So that is the sequence. So we say that the element is complex because it has children, and it happens. The reason why we need to emphasize that it's a sequence is that it could also be a choice. We're not going to talk much about choice here, but you remember from the DTD that you can have potentially two implementations of a node. In this case, we can have two different types of children. So there could be choice between, but in this course, we're only going to look at sequences, which means that these elements will be in a sequence. So the way to specify an element type is to say it's complex, it has a sequence, the sequence is first an element, and then a name daily values, and then an element of type food. In this case, there's a max occurs, and we're going to talk about max and min occurs in a second. So rather than just listing them, as we did in DTD, we need to say this element, nutrition, is a complex type, and it happens to be a sequence of first daily value elements and then food elements. If we don't say, we assume there will be one and only one. If there could be more, then we have these min and max occurs. There are two ways of doing this. One would be to inline it, which would mean that we define an element to be of a type which is a sequence of an element of a type of a sequence of an element of a type. And then, of course, we need to end all these definitions. So that's one way. These are inlined. So we just define the type as a child element. So if you look here, how do we define the type of this element? By defining a child being complex type. But the other way of doing it is to define in place. So here we define that A is a type float and C is a type float in this sequence here, but I think this is a better way of doing it, or a better way of illustrating it. So rather than having this element being a complex type of a child of a sequence of elements of complex type, we say that this element has a certain type, and then we can define that type later on in the document. This is probably a bit hard to see, but I have two examples in what I gave handed out, or if you could, that you could find on the blackboard. So this is the first one. So here we have an organization. It has the root is an element organization, which is a complex element, which is a sequence of elements, and the departments element is a complex element, which is a sequence of an element, department, which is a complex type, which is a sequence of, among other things, employees, which is a complex type of a sequence of an element, which is a complex type of a sequence of an element. So you see, you can inline it that way. Deep in. And if you go much deeper, you will have to scroll quite far to the side. But the other way, the way I like it, is that we say that, okay, departments is a complex type, a sequence of elements of type, department type. And then, later in the document, as I said, in the document, you define the root element, and you can define types. So later in the document, I define this type. It's a complex type because it's a sequence of elements. And in this case, it's a sequence of elements, among them employees, that contains employee. And the employee, I don't inline it. I rather create a type and give it a name. And then I can refer to it here, the emp type that I create down here. Do you follow me? So rather than inlining everything, I can create complex types, and a complex type is typically a sequence of children or child elements that may further be children of. And you could either inline the type, which is kind of an anonymous type, if you follow me, because this one, the type of employees, doesn't have a name. It just happens to be the sequence of element, employee elements. But the employee element is of the named type, emp type. And the emp type I define here as a complex type that is a sequence of first name, last name, and it has an attribute emp number. You follow me? So what we do is we create this very deep tree where we have an element, complex type, sequence of element, that are complex types of sequence of elements, or complex type. But some of them, to make it readable, we could define typically department types, employee types, skier types, club types, affiliation types. We create these types, and then we can refer to them by saying that the type is... And if look at the difference. Here, the department head, the type is a simple type, which is predefined in XML schema. That's why you have XS column. But my own type here does not have the excess, because this is a complex type or a type that I define in this document. So it doesn't belong to the XML schema namespace. It's in my, or actually it's in the global namespace. Is that understandable? So when we define, think about this. What we deal with are trees. So how do we find a tree structure? Well, we say, what are the children? And in this case, we made it very clear, better than in the DTD. In the DTD, we just listed them with comma. And we have to remember that comma means in this sequence. But here, we are more specific. We say that this complex type is a sequence of elements. And then you list elements one by one in the order they are to appear. And then for each of the elements, you say, okay, these are complex types because they are sequence of children elements. And each of the children may again be complex because they may contain children. So that's how you specify the structure. And for convenience, if you have the same type several places, it makes sense to define it one place. And then you can say, this is of type skier, and this is of type skier. So you can have it in one definition, but you can define them in one place. Or, more interestingly, in your case, since the two skier elements are so different, you could define them as two different types. One where you have the skier log type, and one where you have a skier information type. You follow me? You got two different types, because one would contain first name, last name, year of birth, and the other one would be log entries. The name of the element is the same, but the type is different. You follow me? The skier elements have two different types. We could use the choice in the DTD, but in the schema we don't. We can say those are two different types. One is the skier information type, and one is the skier log entry type. And we can create them being different. Hope I didn't confuse more than I clarified. So either we inline, we say it's element, complex type, sequence, element, complex type, sequence, element, complex type, sequence through the tree. Or we say this element has a type that we gave a certain name, and that name is a sequence of element. Again, either inline or of a certain type, and you can refer to the named type. It's more readable this way, I feel. But either way works. So I'm not going to require one specific. Find the one you like. So here, this element daily values is of type daily value type, and then the daily value type, we can define it here as a sequence of element total fat and element saturated fat. So if we go to the nutrition schema, how did I structure it? Well, I started by saying the root element is nutrition. So in the schema, the only child of schema, so take this one, the only element child of schema is nutrition. And then I have a complex type, I have a complex type, I have a simple type, I have a simple type. So what does this schema define? It defines the root element, which is nutrition, and it defines two complex types, one for daily values and one for food type. And then it has a complex type for the weight metric unit value type. That's a nice name, isn't it? And one simple one, which is just the weight metric unit. So if you look at this one, it says that this is a type of simple content that has units as an attribute. You remember that for quite a few of the elements, you will have the value and the units. Was it in gram? Was it in pound? Was it in tablespoon? What was it? And now I define, so if you look at the XML document, I hope I don't confuse you. So here, serving is in units. So what is the type? The type is that it is a float, but it also has an attribute. Simple content, it has a number, but complex type, because it has an attribute. And it's being used here and it's being used here. Sorry. Two places, or many places. Well, yeah, both in the food and under daily values. So since I use this structure, that it is a value with a unit attribute, I define that as a complex type. Complex type says the I was here in the this one. Oops. Complex type. Simple content based on float, but having an attribute. We're going to come back to this way of constructing it a bit later. And what is the other complex type? The food type complex type is a sequence of name, manufacturer, serving. It also has an attribute. That's also why we have this structure here. And it has calories, which is also complex. And then we have total fat. And these were complex because they had attributes. And then we have these other ones. And vitamins will be sequence of A and C. So that's why this is complex. And minerals will be elements of calcium and iron. So that's why this one is complex. So you see what I do here is I say a sequence of these elements, and for each one of them, I define the type. In this case, I inline the types. But for the nutrition document itself, I use name types. So I say, what does the nutrition document contain? Two parts. One would be the daily values element, and it's of type daily value type that I specify later on. And the other one is the food item. And the food item is the name food. And the type is the food type that I define down here. You follow me? So the document, a typical XML schema document, will have a definition of the root element. And you could inline, so it could be just that, inline everything in the root document or root element. But you could also say, okay, now it makes sense at some point to have a name type. So the root element will be of this name type. And then we declare the type further down here. And up here, we can refer to it. Say, okay, daily values is of this type, which is complex, which means that it's actually a class definition or an object definition. Daily value type, what is it? It's a sequence of these elements. They are all the weight metric unit value type that I specify down here. Weight metric unit value type. So rather than having to specify simple content, extension float, and attribute units for all of these, I could just say that these have these type. They are simple content, float, with an attribute units. Is it confusing? At least there are lots of details, and the only way to deal with details is to bang your head against them and work with them and trying to solve it. Now we come to this cardinality. You remember in the DTD, we could say whether it was optional, question mark, where there would be multiple, plus, or whether it was optional or multiple, meaning the star. So we had question mark, plus, and star. If you didn't say, it will be one and only one. In the XML schema, it's a little bit different because we say, how many times can this element occur on this spot? And we do that by saying min occurs. If you don't say, the default is one, meaning that it will be at least one, but it could possibly be more. And upper bounds is max occurs. We could define it to be one would make sense. Zero doesn't mean it would never appear. That would be why we define something that couldn't appear. But one or up, we could have 5, 10, or unbounded. Unbounded means that it can be as many times as we want it to be. But we can also be exact, saying 7 or 10 or whatever. So it's different. I don't know if you see the difference, but in the DTD, we say how many times can the child appear. In this case, we say how many times can this node appear where it is. So the definition is on the child rather than on the parent. But in the DTD, in the parent, we were saying how many times can the child appear. Here, we say how many times can this type of node appear where it is. So it's a slight difference. And we'll if you don't say, it will be one and only one. We can set the min occurs and the max occurs. Remember that we need to, and min occurs and max occurs, they are defined in the XML schema. So since this is an XML element, the attributes will be defined there as well. In this case, we say that the element generator is optional. If you say min occurs 0, it means that we allow it to be optional. Question?
If I set min occurs to something higher than 1 and don't change max occurs, will it automatically assume that the maximum is the minimum, or will I just completely break everything and have the max be 1 and the min be 5?
I haven't tried, but I would assume that max overrules min in that case. So to say that max, since max is just... you could try it. I haven't tried, but I would assume that the default applies still. So if they are opposite, they can't be satisfied, and they will be illegal. Yeah, I would bet that's the way it's implemented, but I haven't tried. Should have. It's quick and easy to try it. So in this case, we can, for instance, say that you may have two parents. So max occurs is 2. We may not know your parents, so it could be 0. So a parent is 0 or 1 or 2. I don't know if it makes sense, but it would be possible. In XML schema, it's quite easy to mix up text and elements. In the DTD, it's a bit more tricky. We have to play around with optional and stars and lots of things. But here, we can say that inside the lyrics element, we may find break, meaning just go to a new line, we may find break elements 0 or many times, but they're mixed with text, intermingled in the text. So this is basically a text that has text with breaks in between. That's what it means. And the why sequence could have been a choice as well, meaning that you could it's either text or it's break. But since you have just one, it doesn't matter which one you use. And since I've been only showing sequence so far, we stick with sequence. So, track title written by. How would the schema look like? We assume, so from the DTD, what seems to be the root element from the DTD? Doesn't say, but what seems what has children here? Which one seems to be the top of the tree or bottom if it's the root? track, because track contains title, title just contains text, track contains written by, and written by just contains text. Okay, so what will we do? What will be the root element in the XML schema? It will be track. What is the structure? What is the type of a track? Is it complex or simple type?
Complex.
Because it has children. And the children, so it will be complex type. It will be a sequence. What will be the sequence? The sequence will be title followed by written by. What about mean max occurs? Do we have to specify mean max occurs for title? No, because the default is 1. Yeah. What about written by? What does the plus mean?
1 or
it wins one or more. Do we have to set min occurs? No, because it's one. Do we have to set max occurs? Yes, we need to set it to be unbounded. So, written by would be min occurs, don't have to say, max occurs, one. Title, we don't have to say either min or max. What is the type of title? Is it complex or simple? Simple. And we can get away with the string, schema type string, and the same with written by. So that's how we would create a schema. We define what is the root element that we track. What is the type? Its type is complex because it's a sequence of title and written by. Title can occur only once, and its simple type is string. Written by can occur many times with text or simple type as the content. So I think I have it here. So track is complex type, sequence, element, title with the string. We don't have to specify more, but the written by has min occurs zero, max occurs unbounded. In this case, I also added a lyrics, which has the mix and in which we have the break. So this is, goes a little bit beyond what we just saw. I think that was probably answer to another example. So in the DTD, we defined elements, empty, simple, or complex. And we define attributes. We haven't talked about attributes yet, but in the schema, we also need to specify attributes, where they can appear, whether they are implied or required, and what is the data type. So a typical or the way to define this is when you define an element, you first define its type, and after specifying its type, you can add attributes. So inside an element, you will start by defining its children, its structure, its content. And after that, you list all the attributes that should be there. What is the name and what is the type? If you have elements that are empty, you wouldn't have to say what type it is, because it's empty, so it doesn't have a type. But if it has attributes, it's empty but with attributes, it needs to be a complex type. Remember, if it has attributes or if it has children, it would always be complex type. Simple type would just be for a value. So we say it's a complex type, but we have no children, so we just specify the attributes. So here we specify that calories doesn't have children, no text, no child element, but it has attributes. So if you go to the XML document, if you see here, we see it's empty, doesn't have any children, but it has two attributes. And the way to specify is say it has a type, but the type does not specify any content, it just specifies the two attributes. Where it gets a bit tricky is where you have simple content, meaning it contains text of some sort. It could be a date, it could be an int, it could be a string, it could be some simple type, it's just text. But it has attributes. Because then we need to specify the content and the attribute. And what is the content? Simple type. So it's simple content. So what we need to say is that in this case, it's a complex type having simple content based on float. What is extra is these attribute units. It looks kind of cryptic and a lot of things to remember. how to do this, but it makes sense if you think about it, because what we define is element as a complex type, and it's complex not because of its children, because it's just simple content. It's complex because it has an attribute. So it's a simple content. So it's a type based on simple based on simple content float, but with the addition, it extends the base type with an attribute. This, if you kind of remember what you need to do, then looking up the actual names and finding this is something you will do based on a reference manual. You won't remember all of this. Was it extension? Was it restriction? What is it? But if you understand that to specify, you need to specify content and whether or not it has attributes. And since it has attributes, it's complex. So it's the type is complex, but the content is an extension of a simple one. So it's a simple content extended with attributes. That's how it works. And if you remember from the at list in the DTD, we could specify whether attribute was implied or it was required. It's a bit different in the schema, because in the schema we assume that is optional. So if you don't say, attributes are optional. If we really want it to be required, we specify use is required. That's the way to specify that it is mandatory. And in the DTD, we will say hashtag required. And then you have the possibility of defining default values and fixed values in the same way as we did in DTD. But that's not so relevant, important. It's the required that is the most used one. Yeah. So we had already the track title and written by. And how do we add the language attribute to the title? Well, after we define the title, what is the content of title? It's simple content. So since it's simple content, we need to define it to be a complex type with simple content, where the extension is that we add this language attribute. I hope and I think it should be in here as well. The track, so we find here, no, title, I didn't have it, okay, sorry. But here, rather than being a string, if it needed to be an attribute, we would say that it would be complex type. Okay, so I should have made an example for that one as well. But what we need to do is said just here, define it to be a complex type, having simple content. In this case, it wouldn't be a float, it would be a string, and the name would be language. Now, this is the end of this part. If we were to, because what's left would be working with simple types and restricting simple types, and I think I could go on, but I think maybe it's a good idea to start on that tomorrow. Yeah, right, thumbs up, because otherwise I think you're not going to be able to get much of what I'm saying. But so let's just wrap up or sum up what we've been through. And then tomorrow we start by looking into the simple type restrictions. Why? Why do we want validation? Anyone want to share their view on why we're interested in validation at all? What's the benefit of having a validation schema? Yeah. Yeah, so if you the suggestion is that if you send the file and something's lost on the way, you will find that it is not, at least it's not correct structure. So you find the correct structure. But as a programmer, why would we like to use schemas?
So that if you add something, you don't add it wrong?
So if you add something, right. So if you want to create a document and you add something, and you could run it through the validator to see if what you generated is valid before you ship it. Absolutely. You can definitely generate data structure from a schema. It's like a database schema. You know what the structure is, so you could generate. But the most important thing is that you centralize error handling. So rather than having to, every time you access to see, would this be a date, would this be a long, would this be a boolean, what would this be, you can have it all checked one place in the schema. And number two, if you would like to tell everyone what is the expected structure, what do I expect, you could publish the schema, and everyone could see, okay, before I send you the document, I need to run it through to see that it's correct. What can be validated? The complex content, meaning the tree structure and what are the attributes, and simple content, meaning what is it a valid date, is it a valid positive number, is it a valid content in the, or does it have, as you're going to look at tomorrow, does it have a valid pattern? In DTDs, the most important, pieces would be the element definition, the attribute list definition, and we can group children with parentheses. We can make them optional. We can make them repeated. We can say zero or many, and we have choices between children. With the XML schema, we saw that we have elements that are complex types of sequences, but we also have simple types. We have attributes. We can say mean and max occurs. We have a number of built-in types, like strings, integers, decimals, time, date, Gregorian year. What's the difference between DTD and schema? You have any key points for the difference between DTD and schema? Yeah?
You don't need to learn a new language.
It's already XML, yes. Yes. So in the DTD, if you would like to have primary keys and foreign keys, the only way would be to use IDs, and IDs have to be valid XML names. So they can't start with XML, for instance. They can't start with numbers. They can't contain certain characters. That's right. And also, how much control can we have of text data in the DTD? Can we specify that something is a valid date? Can we specify that something needs to be greater than 5, less than 10? No. We can just say that it's character data. And we have very limited type support, type control. So that's, tomorrow we're going to look at how to use keys and primary keys and references. And we'll look at simple types, how to restrict to make even more accurate specification of what are valid values. Okay, so we stop a bit early. The three in the reference group, we're going to have a short wrap-up here before we go. And other than that, we'll continue tomorrow and be done with the validation part tomorrow.